What's up, guys and girls? Welcome to the Rock Hippie Adventures podcast. My name is Keith.
I'm Mel.
And we're here to bring you another episode, Double Trays.
Double Trays, yeah. 33.
Whatever. I don't speak Spanish.
It's El Español.
So welcome to the show. We are going to get into our next movie tonight after the break. We're going to be talking about the ever incredibly sad and horribly tear-wrenching, over-the-top, Are You Serious? I Had to Watch This Movie, A Star is Born.
Yeah, I regretted my pick about halfway into the movie.
I look over there and she's like, hands on the side of her face. Her face is all welted from the crying.
It starts early, too. I think it even started earlier than it did because of anticipation of knowing what was coming.
Anyways, we'll get to that later. I have gone just about completely back to the dark side.
The apple dark side.
Yeah.
Welcome, babe. We have cookies.
So here's the thing. A few years ago, I remember there's a picture. I can find it somewhere in my Tom Hopper Facebook. I have these three boxes stacked. It was my MacBook Pro, my iPad, and my iPhone 5S. At the time.
Killing it.
And I had all those. I had just basically purchased all those at the same time. This was 2012, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
2012.
Look at you. Just flipped the numbers. 12, 21. Look at that.
Oh.
Yeah. Interesting.
And yeah, interesting, I guess.
Yeah.
Whatever. Weirdo.
So does that mean that 21? No, Lord knows. I don't know what that is.
Stop doing math. That's not your strong suit.
Math is my strong suit, which is even sadder.
But no, I had bought all these pieces and I was just like a Mac nut. I mean, I worked in an IT firm and I was there simply because I knew all the Apple stuff. Like I knew how to work on MacBooks and iMacs and
all the stuff.
And then
what made you go to Android? You told me, but I don't remember what it was.
Well, it was, I had the iPhone 6S Plus or Max or whatever it was at the time. And I was like, you know, I'm super stoked for what's coming out and, you know, seeing what Apple's going to do.
Right.
And iPhone 7 was come on out. It was coming out. And I was like, ew, there's no headphone jack on it.
That's what it was.
And it wasn't time for me to get a new phone.
Right.
But when it was time for me to get a phone, I looked at Apple and I was like, you know what? I'm going to the Samsung Note. Mm-hmm. So I went to the Note. What did I get at the time? Note 8.
Mm-hmm.
I got the Note 8. And I really, really liked it.
Yeah.
I did try the Android at one time. I think I had a Galaxy 7 or a Galaxy 5 or 4 or something like that way back in the day.
Right.
It wasn't long before I was right back to iPhone. I was like, I just can't do it. You know, I couldn't at that point, I couldn't do it. So I jumped back over to Android and it was like, man, you know, people are like, you're an Android user. But Android's really good for the really, really, really techie people, like really into IT and stuff. Like, mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff that an Android can do that an iPhone will never be able to do.
Gotcha.
Right? So I was like, you know, good. And then, of course, I've had my MacBook Pro since 2012. It's one of my favorite systems. Matter of fact, it's sitting up in front of us right now.
It sure is.
Legitimately, as if I bought it brand new day one.
Yeah, it works great.
I can use it any part. The batteries are pretty much dead on it, so like I might get 50% out of them, then I have to plug it in. But you know, those are little things that can be changed. But it still runs. I mean,
it'll roll.
It's almost 10 years old.
Yeah,
like legitimately almost 10 years old, and that mm-hmm. thing still rolls. But you know, with work and things like that, I was like, man, I need to get a PC because when I was working remote. Before the company actually bought me a laptop, when I would go places,
right.
The Mac was a little rough trying to use, you know, our company stuff. So I was like, you know, I need a new laptop just to kind of update things. So I bought a PC. So I'm like PC, Android. I'm like, oh, well, I'm just leaving. And I have no use for a tablet anymore. So having an iPad or a tab or any of those things is just kind of seems pointless when I have and that was the other thing with the PC. It was a touch screen.
Yeah.
And it was 2-in-1. So I was like, shit, I can fold it over, use a tablet, whatever I want. So it was a really good purchase.
Yeah.
But today I brought home, let's back up.
You switched before.
Well, your phone. Yeah. So what, 2 weeks ago?
Yes, I think so.
About 2 weeks ago, about a month or so ago, I went in to get my hearing checked and the doc was like, you know, your high end frequencies are gone. So we're going to have to equip you with some hearing aids. Yes, people, I'm getting old, but military-ish old.
Yeah.
So I went in and got my hearing aids. When I got the hearing aids, these new high-fangled things of technology, these hearing aids, they Bluetooth to your phone. They connect to your phone, so you can control your hearing aids with your phone.
They're actually pretty awesome because you honestly cannot tell that you're wearing them at all.
Yeah.
I don't even notice that you're wearing them. And then the days that you do have them on, they're so small, you don't even notice that they're there, but they help you a lot.
Yeah, so there's an app that connects to them as well. Yeah. I mean, you can use them without your phone. You can turn them on and they're fine.
Yeah, because you can get music and all, like, conversations in your in your hearing aids. Like, it's like a Bluetooth.
Yeah, so they Bluetooth to your phone, so it's in both your ears. It's not like it's overpowering like you have headphones in where you can't hear anything else. It combines with everything around you, so it's even cooler, honestly. But they have an app, so you can control, because they'll put programs in, like, it'll have a speech clarity, which kind of boosts the volume up so you can hear people better when you're talking in situations. If you're in loud situations, there's a noise filter. So
like restaurants. Yeah,
and then there's, because I have really bad tinnitus, or I'm going to try to say it the way my doctor says it.
Tinnitus.
Yeah. Tinnitus, which sounds weird because I've always called it tinnitus. But
she did call it tinnitus.
Yeah, so... Tinnitus. Anyways, it's the ringing in your ears. So there's also a program in it for me as well. So it'll throw like white noise or ocean noise or something to kind of downplay the
ringing.
Oh, yeah. When it's quiet, it's terrible. But also in that, like, I can stream my phone calls. Like if I'm watching something on my phone, I can get that into my hearing aids. Also music. So like when I'm at work, my music plays all day long.
But it's in your ears.
It's in my ears. Plus, at the same time, if somebody's talking to me, I can hear them because it works in a way where it's got a setting so you can streaming focus where you're just hearing really just the music, or hearing everything, which adjusts the music level so you can hear your surroundings too. So if somebody says, really cool. Keith. So again, it's weird to wear hearing aids, but at the same time, I think it's kind of cool. So anyways, with that being said, the Android was not very compatible with the hearing aids. So I was like, screw it.
Well, what's the point of having them if your phone doesn't work the way that you need it to? Because then you are going to end up not wanting to wear them because they become an inconvenience versus a convenience.
No, absolutely. So I got an iPhone. I got the 12 Pro Max because
you're you.
Yeah, because I'm me. I'm not going to get the... I got to have the big one because it needs... Like, when I put my hand
on it...
You did,
You did put your phone over there and compare sizes. I saw your face.
And they're all smaller. Like, I had the Note 10 Plus. So, just to let you know, I transferred from a Note 10 Plus. There's not an Apple phone that's as big as the Note 10 Plus.
No.
It's kind of close. It's very similar. But I'm also getting used to the different design. But I'm not going to lie to you. So far, so good. I like the phone.
And you've got, like, you know, you're 6'4". You've got a large hand. So phone in your hand looks ridiculous.
Look like a whale eating a Tic Tac.
Jason Momoa holding, like, a little kid's
phone. No, that's not even like that at all. There's a complete difference between me and him.
Holding his little baby.
Whatever. But so this past weekend, we've been doing a lot of work because we're trying to gear up to start doing some videos and doing some things with some other people, and we really want to get, you know,
you drink the Kool-Aid.
Well, what happened was follow me. So I bought the PC. I have a Dell 2-in-1 15. It's 16 gigs of RAM, and it's a pretty decent, it's only an i5 processor.
But old girl, like,
but she was struggling this weekend.
She makes some fan noises.
Yeah, she was struggling. She was hot. Like,
she premenopausal.
Yeah. She was struggling, and I couldn't get it to work right. So, you know, and I've seen a lot of guys talk about the new Mac Mini M1, Tom Buck being one of them, his channel, a few other guys. And I was sold, and I said, you know what, I was sitting there last night. I said, you know what, if I'm really going to dig into this, if we're really going to go to that next level, like, screw it. I'm going to get the smallest, cheapest Mac Mini M1 I did, and by all reviews, everybody who's bought it,
I mean, he tried crashing the dang thing.
Yeah. Tom Buck.
Yeah, he tried crashing it. He couldn't crash it.
Yeah, if you don't believe me, go check him out on YouTube. I'm giving this guy, you know, props because he's awesome. I love his channel. Like, you find a channel you like, I mean, everything he does.
He's no nonsense, and he's not, if he makes commission off of things, whatever, but he's honest about the way that he uses things.
He's really good.
I like that he tried to crash it. I thought that was brilliant.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I would have done. Let me see how bad I can do this.
Yeah, and he had, I mean, it was crazy. God.
And one of the things I noticed, too, that he had 14 Google Chrome tabs open, and that's usually what pressed my computer to limit was Chrome.
Yeah, yours was, because every time you do your task manager, that was what was running the most on your computer.
It was absolutely nuts. But anyways,
kind of crazy. But
so I'm pretty much back to being an Apple guy.
Well, do you know how much quieter it is too? Because
I mean, you don't hear
the fan.
Yeah, there's no fan running because that PC's fan, it sounded like an airplane taking off.
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell was what? I'm like, what is that? And I would look at my soundboard. And where my digital readouts for my broadcast meters are on my, I was like, I could, and I have a noise gate.
Yeah, but it would almost register as that loud.
If my mic was close enough to that PC, this pod mic with noise gate on it would almost pick it up. You could see every little subtle, like little
bump. Yeah, we tried propping her up and everything.
It didn't work. Yeah, she's going to go back to doing what she does best, being a laptop computer. Yeah,
for light work.
Yeah, and I can take her on trips and do stuff with her, but she can still edit videos and things like that.
Yeah,
if I need be,
fine
but
with that. Yeah.
But I've gotten my all-in-one back, and yeah, we're gonna do some things coming up.
All the things we do need to mention though that last week episode we had announced that we were interviewing a band.
Yeah.
So we do want to mention that for those people. Or if you weren't looking forward to it, that's fine too. But we're super looking forward. We had a conflict on our end last weekend with some stuff that had come up out of the blue. So we have rescheduled. So we'll be recording this weekend with Civilian. And we're super excited to
Meet
with them.
Sounds
and
like
talk
guys,
with them.
Yeah, the guys sound awesome. I've watched some of their videos. I mean, listened to their music. And the more I listen to some of their songs,
good.
It's just, there's something. And you know, I don't.
They're different good.
Well, I don't want to compare them to other bands, you know, because I usually don't like comparing them to other bands.
No, they have their own sound, honestly.
But they do have this vibe along the lines of like Breaking Benjamin and Chevelle and that's how I got hooked up with them
is because my Spotify from listening to Breaking Benjamin and Chevelle started throwing them in. You know, when you get to the end of your playlist.
But you realize
now their new stuff, though, to me, is just so good. Like, I'm stuck on it.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I play them a lot. And some of their older stuff is different and kind of gotten sucked into that, too.
Mm-hmm.
I played a thing on my own story on my own Instagram the other day from their 2018 album. It's that Law song. It's so good.
Yeah. I want to say I actually came across Civilian before you because I have them on a playlist.
Really?
Way back. I'm talking way back. I'm trying to remember the song. But anyways, I'll have to do a little research on where I picked it up at. But I've actually had, because when you played their song, I'm like, I've listened to these guys before.
Yeah. They didn't seem new to me, but they were new to me. Do you know what I mean? I think it's their sound that just sounds super familiar.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to talk to them. They have a whole album for anybody that's interested on the Stages of Grief.
Mm-hmm.
That was their latest album that they put out
in
On Death and Dying. That was in 2019. They're currently working on a new album, so we'll get to talk to them about that as well. And the two songs that they've dropped from that are going to be on their upcoming album are freaking good.
Well, I think...
And they're getting more hard, which I appreciate.
Yeah, I think there's something interesting about what they're doing, because I think it's like a 3-song EP or something.
It's something.
I was listening to a podcast that they were on, but anyways, we'll get into that more with them when we talk to them.
Yeah, but check them out. Civilian.
Civilian.
Civilian. The spelling's a little different than what you might look for, but if you like Breaking Benjamin and Chevelle, it'd be really cool for you to give them a listen, especially before if you listen to this before we talk to them. It'll give you like a little heads up on what we're talking about.
Yeah, check out that album.
But Wars is really good.
Yeah, Wars is good.
They have Adam Gauché on there from the old 3 Days Grace singer. He's on Saint Asonia now, but he did a little cameo on their new song, and it's really good.
It's interesting how they hooked up with them too. So I can't wait to talk about that as well. Anyways, we won't get into that a lot.
But just want to give you a heads up. It's coming.
Yep, it's coming next week if nothing happens this week. We always say that.
No, it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's going
to
happen.
We have to make it happen.
Oh, yeah.
We're fine on our end. We're good.
Yep.
Hopefully they're good on their end. Well, they're in Canada. Hell, they're locked the fuck down.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing happening up there.
Yeah, right? Just a little beard to face.
Beer to face.
All right. Well,
some shandy, babe.
Yeah, some bone cracking shandy. We'll be back in a minute to pick up and talk about that really terrible movie and move forward. We'll be back in a minute. And we're back, guys and girls. Thanks for sticking around. I know if you stuck around, you're going to be in a world of hurt listening to this sad, sad reflection.
Go ahead and get your tissues.
We won't make you cry, but if you watch the movie,
oh my God,
you know, you have to know that it's just one of those movies. It's like, okay, so let me tell you my history with it. Because it's retarded.
Babe.
What do you mean, babe?
Okay, go ahead.
It's fairly simple. Girl I was dating a few years ago said, I don't know how the conversation came up about Lady Gaga. But she came up in conversation. And she said, hey, have you ever seen this movie? And I said, what movie? It's like A Star Is Born. I've heard of it because, you know, it won awards. And
well, it was an older movie, too. Barbara Streisand was in it with Robert Redford, I believe.
Yeah, I never heard of that one.
No.
Yeah, because it's not my type of movie. But anyways, you know, it's like, oh, it's a really good movie. Everybody loves it. It's, you know so proclaimed.
You want to pull your heart out and throw it on the floor.
Well, I didn't know none of this. I was just given that, you know, it's a movie about singing. I thought it was a country music movie singing, so I really wasn't into it. But I said, you know, she's just like, oh, how good she sings, blah, blah. I was like, you know what? I'll watch it. Because if it's that good of a movie, I might as well watch it. I'm a movie person, yeah. So I'm going to watch movies.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow I ended up watching this movie. I was like by myself. So I watched the movie. You know, the movie starts out. I'm like, wow, it's pretty good. I was like, man, that girl. And honestly, man, that girl can sing.
Oh, she's fine. There's not even words to describe how well she can sing.
Yeah, and in that movie, she does things that gives, I mean, like, she's singing and gives you goosebumps. Like, she's singing that French song and you get goosebumps.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and then she's there in the parking lot, goosebumps.
Ugh, yeah.
Goosebumps. But anyways, watching this movie, and if you've seen the movie, people, spoiler alerts, I watched this daggone movie and get to the end, I was like, there's no happy in this movie. There's no happy, I mean, it is the saddest, most guilt-ridden, like, why am I watching this movie? Because it is terrible.
There are certain movies that you can watch, like, if you feel like it, like, I will sometimes watch a movie if I feel like I need to have a good cry. This would be one of the ones I put on, because there's no guilt in crying in this one, because it is sad as fuck.
Yeah, I mean,
and so if you just feel like you need to let it out, and you just want to cry, and not give a reason why you're crying, this is the movie for you. Go put it on. You don't even have to watch the whole entire movie.
No.
You really only have to watch about the first 30 minutes. Well, and if you've seen it before, you're lucky if you can make it the first 30 minutes, because
it is
then everything
movie.
Else makes. It's okay. So hard when you watch it. It's actually worse when you watch it a second or third. This is my fourth time watching it, I think, now.
Yeah, it's
so it's okay. Worse
it's
every
not
time
a
I watch it.
Bad movie. It's not a bad movie.
No, the movie is
It's really good.
Really
Bradley,
well done.
Bradley Cooper, and I don't know what her real name is, but Lady Gaga.
I don't know. What is her real name?
She is. They do such a good job. And let me
Their
be honest.
Their chemistry is fantastic.
Let me be honest, too.
She looks good.
Sam Elliott is the damn man.
Oh, my God. You are hilarious. You're like, that man's mustache looks like hair.
Okay, so we know you have facial hair. Like, we got hair on our face. But this man's mustache honestly looks like somebody transplanted the beautiful hair off a silver fox's head right to his lip. I mean, his lip has bangs.
What'd you call it? Bangs, that's
his
right.
His lip has bangs. Look
it's
at
a
the,
lip bang.
Look
that's
at his
right.
mustache. Tell me that's not bangs over the lip. That's not a mustache. Nobody has a mustache that beautiful.
No, it's gorgeous.
Like, people used to bark about Tom Selleck's mustache. Check out Sam Elliott's mustache. That's the damn mustache of the century. That thing is, I mean, it's perfect. It's shaped perfect. It's combed perfect. I bet you that shit's soft like a rabbit fur.
Ugh, that's your takeaway from the movie?
Like, if I had to find one redeeming feature about this movie, it's Sam Elliott's mustache.
It doesn't even, it's not even the credits. Like, how'd they leave it out?
Man, I don't know, but they should have said, for best supporting actor, Sam Elliott's mustache. Because that was great. I'm not kidding you, man. But he is an amazing actor, too. I mean, I've never seen him in anything that I haven't liked.
When you say it's a good, and, you know, she said it was a good movie. It is good. It is good. It's well done. But good is a word that I wouldn't use to say, like, enjoyable. It's not that kind of movie.
Oh, and Lady Gaga's real name is Stephanie.
It is Stephanie. That's right.
Joanne Angelina Germanotta.
Yeah, Germanotta. She's Italian.
Well, yeah, she's definitely Italian. Nose.
Yeah, her nose. Her high profile.
Yeah, anyways.
Well, I will share my experience with this movie. So,
go ahead.
My friends Amy and Christy and I were going to the movies, and we were going to go see this. And I knew a little bit about the movie, but not entirely about the movie. And then it slapped me in the face while I was in the movie. And then we went to go see it in like a matinee, like an afternoonish.
Yep.
So when we got to the movie, it was sunny outside. We were wearing our sunglasses. We get out of the movie, it's dark. But I'm still wearing my sunglasses because my eyes are so damn swollen. We go to eat at this restaurant, and the girl was like, oh, my God, what's wrong with y'all? Because we were so swollen from having cried for, you know, 2 hours straight. Yeah. I mean, ugly crying. Snot rolling down my face crying. So mm-hmm. I've gotten better. I've progressed through the movie. Still boo-hoo, though.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. It's just it's got 2 stars in it, and then you add the third with Sam Elliott. But you got people like Alec Baldwin's got a cameo in it. Andrew Dice Clay's in it.
Yeah, he plays her dad.
Greg Grunberg from The Heroes is in it.
Yeah, all his little limo buddies are all hilarious. Yeah. They add to it. Oh, and then the girls at the club that she plays at, they're all amazing.
Oh yeah!
Don't be talking to me about with your bus driver wig.
Don't talk to me with your bus driver. Dave Chappelle's in it. I mean, it's just
and almost all those all the drag queens that were in the thing, they're almost all on RuPaul's drag queen show, yeah. Which is why I knew a lot of them already before I watched this movie. But I love them; they're great.
So there's a lot of there's a lot of people in this movie. So and it went over well. I mean, it went over well. So let's get to the gist of it. We're down here because we're talking about relationships.
Yeah, we're doing this study.
This is a
Rochester.
Horrible movie for relationships.
Yeah.
But honestly, if you're in a relationship like this, then we need to have a chalk.
Or if you've been in a relationship like this.
So let's just giddy up right out the gate. We're gonna do it like we've done it for the past few weeks. We're gonna answer these questions, and we're gonna talk about it. So, of course, we watched A Star Is Born.
Yes, the 2018 version.
And we're focusing on the relationship of Allie and Jack,
mm-hmm.
which is Bradley Cooper. By the way, if we haven't mentioned him yet, Bradley Cooper.
And his hair.
Yeah, he looks, this is how well this movie, I mean, you buy the fact that you look at him and you know he's a drunk, not a drunken alcoholic. You know
his
life is rough. He's been on the road. He looks weathered and aged in this
movie.
Yeah,
and he gets worse. Like, I think at the beginning of the movie, like, he kind of looks, like, when she first meets him.
Yeah.
He doesn't look as bad, but the progression of his alcoholism and pill popping becomes very evident.
Right.
He does look good after he goes to rehab, though. They cleaned him up good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, we're focusing on their relationship because it is the base relationship in the movie. It is all about them. What main problems did the couple face? That's the second question we're getting into. And are these similar to the problems that the two of you have faced or might face as a couple?
The main problem is alcoholism. I mean, that's the callus for their relationship.
Yeah. I think
having issues.
I think the,
if that wasn't there, their relationship actually is kind of sweet.
Yeah. But I think there's also jealousy.
It ends up being jealousy, yes.
Professional, well, not even.
Because the gist of it is he's getting out of the business. He's,
and he brings her in.
Going out the pasture and
basically
bringing her in.
He's basically at the height. He's like at
when she meets him, yes.
He's at the peak,
mm-hmm.
Coming over the hill.
Yeah.
You know, that's where he's at.
And he also leads to his own demise.
Yeah.
Based on how his life and choices are.
There's a lot. I want to get into the addiction in a minute, or the alcoholism in a minute, because I think there's more to it than just what we see.
Yes.
It's not just being an alcoholic.
No, it's being there's a lot of there's a lot behind it.
But I think, you know, alcoholism, the addiction, is one. It's the professional jealousy, I think, is two.
Yeah, it's,
and but outside of that, I can't really like pinpoint anything crazily. I mean,
they adore each other. Like on the days when it's good, it's good. When the days it's bad, it's really bad.
Yeah, and it's kind of crazy. Like when he first meets her, you know, how he's like, she's like, oh, you know, nobody wants me as a singer because of how I look, my nose. And he's like, your nose is great. And
oh, my gosh. Yeah, like every girl would love some guy to say that. Like he just adores her. Like he just sees past all the flaws that she thinks she has with herself.
And I'm true, like, you know, watching the movie.
But he's being so authentic to her.
Right. And I was really trying to watch the movie to see if I could find how the movie might play this off as a bit of sarcasm of him just trying to hook up, this, that, and the other. But he's like, he's captivated.
Enamored with her. Yeah.
He's like captivated by this woman. And it's like, wow, you know, this is one of those where it's like you meet him and it's like, yeah, this is the person I want to be with. And but it's not just, you know, it's
like sparks flew when she looks at him when she's laying across the bar when she's singing that song. You instantly know that there's a connection between the two of them, even though it's faked out on the you know, I mean, it's a movie, so it's not real connection. They played it off so well, though. I thought it was great.
It was really good. So I think you could focus around those two areas because it's like, so he's like, oh, I really love how she sings. You know, she's just great. And there's this part where they're rolling through things and she gets the nod for like the record deal. And he's like, oh, you know, and you can see it. He's like, what, you know, what?
Yeah.
He wants you what? And you can see it as it builds up because it's like instant, like she's on SNL. She's got three Grammys. I mean, And
she changes her appearance, but too.
I'm going to say this, too, though. I want to, like, back up to the very beginning when they first meet. Like, they're talking in the bar about him saying, you know, you got something to say. It's not just about being pretty. It's not about, you know, just making any songs. It's that you have something to say. Never lose the fact that you have something to say and always have something to say. And he, like, kind of throws shade on her. When they're like they're in the tub scene where he's talking about the Grammys.
Yeah, was that song she sang on SNL about the backing up your butt? I don't know. It was some boy, the jeans song that she sang on the Saturday Night Live skit. Yeah,
and he's like, and where
did you go? Where did you lose your voice, basically? And she's like, but that's my song. Like, that's a song. So I think he was trying. I think he feels like she lost herself. Like, I think he fell in love with this woman who he felt was going to, you know, have something to say and put her music out there. And then she, for the lack of a better word, starts putting out these very poppy, very mainstream, not much thought songs into what she's getting famous for. And I almost think it bothers him.
Yeah, I think that too. I can't tell if it's jealousy or it's...
like he thought she was different. Like she's a sellout. Like you sold out to the... Yeah. You sold out to the man.
Exactly. And then there's
maybe that makes him angry.
And then there's the complication of everything else, which is his alcoholism.
Yeah.
Which.
But there's so much underlying things that go with that. It's his tinnitus.
It's his hearing issues.
Yeah, which he's got the loss. It's crazy.
He's got the loss of hearing, the ringing in the ears.
Now, if he just wears damn hearing aids like you, we'd be fine.
Possibly.
But he said he doesn't like it. It doled him out because he can't be with his fans. All he hears is himself in his head.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I get that too. But there's a level where do you take care of yourself? You know, sometimes you got to know.
That's why you drink then, right?
Yeah.
To dull it.
Yeah. Plus, you know, I think there was just a number of other mental health things going on. PTSD from his dad and his brother and all these things.
His dad was an alcoholic.
Yep. So it's, you know, it's those types of things. And it's like, it's apparent. And then when you're... It's like you can't live without it, like, or you can't cope in certain situations without having it. It's terrible. I mean, you know, of course, the crux of the movie is at the Grammys when he walks on stage with her.
And,
you know, he's a complete effing mess.
Yeah, disaster.
And he pisses his britches. And she and for all intents and purposes, she's doing everything she can to protect him.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay. My wonderful husband. Oh, I'm going to hide him. Not like... Walk away from him.
No, she tries putting her dress in front of him. Yeah,
she does everything she can, even getting him back to the house. It's like, okay, there's some point where this something's got to change, or it's done.
That's rough.
And it's people, don't think because this is a movie, this is not real life. I mean, this is real life for a lot of people. So, those are the main problems that I think, you know, we talked about a little bit. We don't have those problems, nor we will face those problems, because I think both of us in the stage of our life will not accept either.
No.
So let's deal with just the addiction alcoholism first, because that's kind of easy for us.
Yeah.
I have an alcoholic father. Well, I don't want to say I have an alcoholic father. I had a father who drank a whole lot. Whether that's alcoholism or not, I don't know. I'm not going.
I was married to a recovering alcoholic.
Yeah.
Who is clean for over 5 years now.
Yeah. He's doing great.
Yeah. Super great. Awesome. Proud of him. Super proud of him.
Yeah. But, you know, in those relationships or in those times where somebody is heavily intoxicated all the time, it really makes it hard on a relationship. But for us, we won't accept that, one, because we know what it looks like on the other side. And we feel like that's not something we want to go to because it's pointless. But let me say that addiction is not just alcoholism nor narcotics. I mean, it's more than that. I mean, it could be a number of things. It could be an addiction to your
To clarify, video games. Too. Yeah, and to clarify, like, addiction for alcohol and drugs is an illness.
Yeah.
It is not something that people choose. I think that it's passed down from generation to generation, at least in the instances that I have had experience with. I think sometimes it could be something that sets it off. Kudos to those people who fight addiction every day.
Yeah.
It is not the easiest thing to overcome. Because, you know, that's what they cope with.
Yeah, and the problem is it's so physically demanding. Like,
it is.
Like, for an alcoholic who reaches that age of, like, 50 plus, you know, they've been drinking their whole life. You know, like, they want to give up drinking because they won't do it anymore, but they physically can't because they probably will die.
No, there's a lot of people who cannot. Yeah. They just can't do it.
Yeah, and they have to continue to drink. Which, not at the level, but it's just enough to keep them alive, I guess.
Well, yeah, because their blood is so used to being so thinned out that they end up having a ton of health issues when their blood ends up becoming thicker.
Mm-hmm.
It's rough, man.
Yeah,
addiction is not easy. It's not easy for the person. It's not easy for families. It's not easy for anybody.
Yeah, and a lot of people overlook it and you know, call it is what it is. But you know, if you notice those issues in a family member, please, you know, find a way to get help.
Reach us. I can get you somebody to help you in a minute.
Yeah. And there's also a bunch of other things I call addictions that are not like physically addictive, like, you know, drinking or drugs, but like, you know, you spend all your time on your video games, you spend all your time watching TV, you know, you do anything that neglects.
Yeah. Anything that pulls you out of a situation.
Mm-hmm. But to go to the other side of it, the jealousy portion. Now, of course, this was professional jealousy, we're assuming, because the way the movie plays on it a little bit, whether that is or true or whether it's him really looking. And maybe we'll look at the other side of
of him thinking she sold out.
Yeah, this is not the person that I married, or this is not the person I met.
I think that. I mean, I think that's what inspired mm-hmm. him. I think that's what made him attracted to her.
Yeah.
Is because she thought, you know, that, or he thought rather, that she was different, that she had something to say, and then that the fame may have jaded her in that regards and made her miss that part of herself.
Yeah, and we'll touch on that real quick in a minute. But jealousy, professional jealousy, I think is very prevalent. It's not for us.
No, but I could see in situations with people with this level of fame.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And especially as he's kind of, you know, on the tail end of his
fame. I mean, everybody knows him. Jackson Maine. Everybody knows Jackson. I mean, he walked into a drag bar and they all knew
Jackson, sign my titties.
Yeah. I got my Jackson Maine titties on today.
You know, so cute.
But seriously though, I mean, he's got that fame, but
yeah, he's a household name.
I think there's a lot of people, and I'm going to say, I hate to say it this way, but it is kind of true for most parts. It's usually a guy who's more jealous of their wife. Now, guys, let me tell you something. If you're one of those guys who are so proud and chauvinistic that you got to think you make the bread and you bring all the, you know, you got to make more money than your wife, let me tell you, you're a complete idiot. Okay. Because here's my thinking of things. If my wife sitting here next to me says, I'm going to make a whole bunch of money and you just got to take care of the house, guess what happened? Keith's a housewife / husband in a heartbeat. Because guess what? I will quit my job. I will move right on into this house and I'll do the dishes. I'll everything but clean the cat box. And I'll even do that.
Do you get to wear a cute little maid outfit for me?
Hell no.
Just for me.
No.
Damn it, babe.
That'll look nasty.
Mm-mm.
You see my big ass walking around?
Nah, I'd love it.
What? Like, Jabba the Hutt. Take that shit off and put some clothes on.
I would never say that. Stop that mess. But dress you up. You could just wear like little black pants and a little bow tie.
Oh my gosh. I would not have any professional jealousy.
Tight black pants.
No professional jealousy here. I'm all about being lazy, but not lazy lazy.
Well, I just think it's a sign of weakness if you can't be happy for somebody else. Like, I think it's like, what's wrong with you that you can't be happy for somebody else and want to have their success?
I completely.
I get it. I think his is just like he knows he's on the downward spiral.
Yeah, I completely agree. I completely agree the fact
that. Especially your spouse of all people. Only benefits you.
Yeah, and I think it might be an old-timey kind of thing, you know? It's like, it's just a period thing.
Or a thing that he doesn't want to, you know, admit that that's where he's at in his point in his career. Could just be that kind of thing. Or he just feels like, you know, he was at the top and still wants to be up there.
It's yeah.
Not necessarily that he's jealous of her, but maybe he's missing.
And you can see the downward. You can see the downward spiral when he's at the Grammys and he gets bumped for not singing.
Yeah, he doesn't even get to sing in the Roy Orbison tribute. He gets to play guitar.
Yeah, which, I mean, good guitar player.
But they bumped him and he didn't even know it. So I think that was he just had bumps to his ego, I think.
Yeah.
And then he smashes a cake in her face. Remember that? It was a cake.
Yeah.
He was being mean.
Yeah. It was. But at the same time, you know, you look at that, but then you take jealousy to another level. Like, we don't deal with jealousy. I don't deal with jealousy. I hate jealousy. I hate jealous people because, for me, people say, well, if you're jealous, you care. And I was like, not really. Jealousy means insecurity to me. And
jealousy means a lack of trust.
Yeah. And I'm like, why are you, like, I get that, you know, people get jealous or they get weary of other people because, you know, men and women are crazy. But, like, being jealous seems, for me, is like a trust insecurity. It's a bad personality trait. I don't like it. Me and you've talked about it before. Like,
yeah, I have a tendency to be jealous.
Yeah, you do. You have a tendency to bow up in market territory. You love peeing all over the ground in market territory.
I peed all over you. I peed all over you when we moved in here.
No.
I mean, not literally.
You did not pee over me.
I didn't pee on you.
You marked territory, but she didn't pee on me. No, bro.
I did not pee on you. That's what I meant. I'll piss on my own territory.
Yeah, you definitely did. But
women are sketchy assholes, though. That's why I have to do that, though. Women don't care. Don't care at all.
Not that I mean... But that's the thing. It's like, you know, we've already talked about, like, I don't get jealous because, like, here's my philosophy in life, okay?
Yeah.
I don't get jealous because if you want to leave, you'll leave.
Yeah.
Either I trust you or I don't trust you.
Yeah, but I'm a two. Doesn't matter. Enneagram, I'm a two. That's how we are.
Here we go. We'll have to have the Enneagram talk one day on the show.
Oh, I'm an Enneagram. I'm a two. It's 100%. I have fear of abandonment.
Yeah,
so I do what I do.
Yeah.
It's inherent. Like, literally, I try to stop it, and I can't stop it. I'm trying to break it. It won't work.
I'm trying to break it. But anyways, and then there's the other side of what we were talking about, the, like, not who she was when they got together. And I think more people suffer from that in their relationships than they really tend to think they do. Like, I think more people end up getting divorced because of, like, you know, this is the person. I mean, think about back to the American Beauty movie when he was sitting on the couch, like, mm-hmm. Where's that woman that would just do whatever, you know? And, like, you know, and it's like, I think a lot of people lose that because you grow up. I mean,
well, people, think about it too, though, in this movie, especially, she is a totally different person. I mean, she gets her hair dyed because he even asked, well, whose decision was that? We know it wasn't hers, but her manager said it was hers. We knew that wasn't true. She starts singing these little poppy songs. She's got dancers. All of these things are happening. So I feel like he's standing by watching and going, you know, firstly, where's this woman that I was so inspired by who wrote her own music and had something to say? Where did she go?
Yeah.
And is it fame that made her lose that side of her?
Yeah.
And then I'm sure he's also like, this isn't the woman that I married. Like, this isn't the woman that I wanted to be with, because they got married before she was at this point.
Yeah.
She still looked like herself. But, you know, towards the end of the movie, she's got that red hair. Or I guess it's orange almost, kind of, sort of.
Yeah.
And she's doing those dance moves. She's wearing the crop tops. I mean, she's doing all kinds of stuff. And, you know, that wasn't who he maybe thought she was.
And I think that's that's something that I think people need to recognize. Like, either there's a place where you need to talk about the growth a person might have, because people change and grow.
Sure.
You know, getting old changes you.
Yeah.
Like, oh, where's this person that was like this? Well, I was 20 then. Now I'm like 50. You know, things change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was 45 then and I'm 46 now. Things change. I mean, and yeah, COVID happens, your whole life changes. You know, I mean,
look how much stuff has changed just in the 2 years we've been together.
Exactly.
2 years. But yeah.
Yeah. So,
and maybe too, I was thinking, I just lost my train of thought. I'll come back to it.
Okay.
I had a good point too about something to do with what he was thinking of her, but I can't remember it. I'll think about it in a minute. But yeah, so, you know, the whole not being who you think somebody is.
Yeah. I mean, and I think, like I said, a lot of people face that and they don't know how to deal with it. Like, they don't understand how change happens. And then they go, one day they're like, well, you know, you were this person. Why aren't you this person anymore? Well, kind of take your effects, put your effects together and take a good long look at yourself and see if you're the same person that you were.
I just remembered what I was going to say. And also, I was thinking too about this as we're talking. You know, he's kind of on his end. And remember, they get a home together and they're living in the home. And he said it's the first time his house has felt like a home. And he thanked her for that. I'm wondering too if he thought that their lives were going to be more on, since he was kind of slowing it down, did he want the same with her? Like, did he not, you know what I mean? Like, she's ramping up and he's slowing down. Did he want that more family kind of thing? Because, you know, they had the dog and then she's writing music at the house. And
yeah.
And it seems more like a normal, especially at the level of fame that he had, that he was looking for something that was more like settling down.
It's a possibility.
Versus her touring and her being ramped up and going to Europe and all of those things. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's a good possibility that has a lot to do with it. As we talked about their problems in great detail and analyzed them from various points of view and talked about how we don't have those issues, but other people may. And if you do, then you can really take a good long look at this movie and maybe have a good conversation with your significant other.
Just be ready for it.
Yeah. Our next question, the next part question is, did this couple strive to understand each other? Did they tend to accept one another, even if they were very different? Or did the couple tend to attack each other's differences? Now, I'm going to say in this movie, it was kind of back and forth.
A little bit. I would agree with
you. Because I think there was a lot of times where they really talked. And they were different. They're different people. They're very different people.
Mm-hmm.
And where she would kind of push back, but he would kind of nudge in on her about some things. And then when it was bad, though, you could tell, like, it was bad. But we can also give probably a lot of credit to the alcohol in him that caused a lot of those badly communicated errors.
I would agree.
So, like, when it was bad, it was more to the alcohol. But when it was good, they were able to communicate, which showed, I think why I liked the movie is that in the good points, you could see very fine points of good communication or good, like, the love language of affirmation. Like, he was always affirming to her. But when the alcohol was involved, you could see how negative he was.
Yeah,
like, when he called her ugly, you know, because...
Oh, yeah, that was so hateful. God.
But, again, I don't think he was calling her ugly from the point of view of her personal appearance, but I think he was looking more inside of her because he felt...
Well, I think you might be right on that.
Yeah, I think he felt like she was ugly on the inside because she was doing something that was just so... stagnant.
Not her.
Yeah,
exactly. And not her. Like,
exactly.
I really do think that that might, I mean, the alcoholism is there. I get that. So it fuels some of that.
That's number one.
But I honestly think now that we sit here and really talk about it and really look at it, I'm really feeling like we kind of hashed out, really honestly, a lot of the problem that stems from this is that I just don't think that he thought she was who she was going to be.
Yeah.
It kind of feels that way. Because even when you bring up that cold conversation, some of the stuff that he said to her feeds into that.
Yeah.
Like, do you really think that's a good song? I thought you had more to say.
Yeah.
I think he's just, like, disappointed that this is where she ended up. Like, she had such promise of being this songwriter and having her voice out there, and she's singing songs about, you know.
Yeah.
The Gene song or whatever. Mm-hmm. I can't even reference that. So I wonder if that's more of what the underlying issue is.
Right.
But when they do talk to each other and they do care for each other, they have very sweet love with each other. Like, it's very, like, when they're in those quiet moments when they're just sitting in the house or, you know, just talking and laying there talking to each other, they genuinely love each other.
Yeah. And I think you can see it also in the final scene when she sings that song he wrote for her. That was, you know?
Gut-wrenching.
Yeah, like, but you can see it because that's what he really felt.
Yeah.
You know?
It's making you well up just thinking about it. Bad idea.
I think for the most part, they were a normal couple in a sense, because we've watched a few movies and we've talked about how the couples were so different, or how they, because the movie really played on the fact that, you know, you have to have this conflict and you can't understand each other to get to this climax or to this over apologetic moment where they come together and everybody's like, oh, I wish they would do okay. And then at the moment, there's this very sappy reunion. But through this, it's completely opposite. I mean, this movie's okay, they're kind of good together. They have their ups and downs like normal relationships. And then, boom, at the end, it's done. You know, because if you don't know, he kills him fucking self, which blows my mind.
Ugh,
it's which so I kind of saw coming, but...
You do.
But it's just like...
The thing is, I think he... Ugh, it's so messy because his... Okay, so the whole idea is her manager, basically, because of the whole Grammy thing.
Yeah.
Is he has a conversation with Jackson. Jackson has now come out of rehab.
Yeah.
And the manager's just laying into him, basically, like, do you understand what you did to her? Like, we had to clean this up. It was a mess, like, blah, 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 that her career, da, da, da. And he's just taking it.
Yeah.
And you see his whole demeanor change. Like, he's almost proud of her at this point because I think the fog has gotten off. So, he realizes
drunk,
now.
Yeah, it's not a drunken thing. He's like,
where
wow.
she's at and that he's proud of her and the accomplishments that she's done. Mm-hmm. And so I think... that he honestly convinced himself that this is the best thing that he can do for her.
Yeah, like the only way she's going to be able to go on in life and succeed without being embarrassed by me is me not being here, which is sucks.
Oh, it's terrible.
But
I want to wring that manager's neck.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to punch that little fucker in the face.
Yeah. So we move to the next question.
That's true sense of kicking somebody while they're already down. Like, he's already down and you just kicked him.
No, absolutely.
Like, instead of celebrating the accomplishments that he's done and spending it some kind of way.
But most people are like that when they're trying to protect their wallet. And it's a wallet protection thing. Period.
Yeah.
Did the couple have a strong friendship with each other? Were they able to support each other through bad moods, stressful days, and hard times? Did they listen to each other like good friends? Did the couple in the movie... do considerate or affectionate things for each other.
They kind of did.
I think they actually, out of all the movies we watched, this is the one where I could say they do have a friendship.
They did. Their little relationship was so cute from the start.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it was like when he wanted to marry her, he made that ring out of the guitar string.
So sweet.
You know, that was
and their little wedding was like the best little video. Like the little montage they did in that thing was so awesome.
And old Eddie Griffin.
And she supports the fuck out of him. I mean, she's in the bathtub when he's having... drunk as shit and they're putting water on him. She's taking care of him and
I mean it's
and he's supporting her on when he can. I mean honestly.
You know, it's like, okay, I messed up, so I'm gonna show up and kind of be there. And
though he drank the whole time, like honestly, but it was once his tour ended is it got really bad because they show scenes of them like when she's playing with him, they're drinking. I mean he's drinking the whole time. It's never not an issue. I mean it's always there. But I think it got really bad once he couldn't deal with not being at the top anymore.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they got worse.
Possibility.
Or, the thing about the little things that they show him, like, getting off the bus, they're smiling, they're hugging each other.
Yeah. I think there was a lot. I mean, but then, of course, you know, you're in the honeymoon phase, so there's a lot of things that you overlook.
Good point.
Everything's really happy.
But she knew he drank from the get-go. She knew it
straight away. Oh, absolutely. But, you know, it gets to the point where... And I think there's moments, but I think in all those moments, you know, I mean, everybody has a fight where you just don't listen to each other, but for some reason they would always come back and do something. So I think, I think in this sense that it's kind of like, you know, I mean, it's like a good relationship in the sense that, you know, minus the alcohol, you know, hey, you know, here's what I can do. I'm listening, you know, I'm supporting you.
Yeah, I would agree. Is a relationship similar to or different from our own relationship? Well, in those cases, it's similar.
Yeah, most. I mean, but it's no different than most people's relationships. You know, you, you know, you have bad days where you just don't communicate well.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have your arguments and stuff, which we tend to have pretty much none of those. But the times we do, I think because
we're proactive.
Well, I think because of where we're at in our life, we don't allow that to penetrate each other. So, like, if I'm having a pissy mood or something, you kind of get what's going on and you just kind of bust it off yourself and wait till that shit dies down. And I'm the same way, because it's never something that's directed at each other because of each other. It's always something external that causes us to feel 100%. The way we do.
Yeah, totally.
It's like the day you yelled at me and I'm like, hold on a second. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to get up and fix dinner.
Yeah, I mean, I apologize because I was being an asshole.
Yeah, but I mean, but you know,
that's literally the only time I've ever raised my voice at you. Yeah,
but that's what I'm saying. It's those times.
The bullshit. The only one that's cool.
Yeah, but it's those times that you realize, oh well, you know, people are still human, so that's where we go with it.
Yeah.
How did the couple handle arguments or differences of opinion? Were they able to open up and tell each other how they really felt, or did they just tend to snap at each other with anger? Did they try to use humor to keep things from getting nasty? Did it feel like they were really trying to understand each other?
They actually didn't do too bad. The humor one makes me think of the cake instantly.
Yeah, I think so.
They can tell it was kind of getting to the point, and he just smeared cake in her face in the middle of an argument, and then she did it back to him. So it kind of lightened the mood up.
Yeah.
Of course, he was drunk, but...
I think...
But they did handle arguments fairly well.
I think they communicated. They just didn't go off on each other. Like, I know he called her ugly and stuff, but I think he was really trying to express how he felt in the words he knew.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it leads to us really overanalyzing that one scene to really gasp or to grasp a better idea of what really was going on and not what you see on the surface of going
on. Yeah, I really honestly feel that. Like, after we've kind of really looked at that, I really do think he was trying to shake her up.
Yeah, I agree.
To say, you know, fame's great, but if you're not saying something, because even I was thinking too just now when we were on the balcony, remember he said, don't waste your time. Don't waste this moment. You only have so much time that's relevant, basically, for you to get out what you need to get out. Remember he told her that when she was getting ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
I think he knew that from experience. That was an example of when his experience kind of needed to come through. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think there was a lot of times where, you know, you would think that he's, you know, he's being just an ass, a drunken ass, but I think there was a lot of underlying, like, care.
Yeah.
To kind of keep her on the path that he thought that she was actually trying to hit on.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, you know, she tasted fame, and it's not a bad thing. It's just that she wanted to do what she wanted to do, and she was enjoying this part of her life now.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, she was enjoying. I mean, who doesn't enjoy the fame? Who's not going to do what they need to do to be famous? I mean, anybody will. Anybody would want that kind of success, because that's what we all strive for, whether you believe it or not. It's like, I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm podcasting just to be podcasting. Sometimes I'm like, I would love for this thing to hit, and people are like, man, we really love this show. We want to see more, you know, and it provides a successful lifestyle for us. Not that we're like driving Lamborghinis and shit, but that we could quit our day jobs. You know, I mean, that's the type of thing you're going for in the get-go.
Well, I think everybody has goals, but I also think it's a matter of not losing sight of who you are. Like, if we were asked to pick up and do a podcast, we're not going to change who we are.
No.
Not in the least bit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think he was trying to ground her. Like, hey, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Don't let this, if you're losing sight of who you really are as a person in all of this.
Yes.
Is it worth it?
Yeah, absolutely. So, like I said, I think this is always the last question, the one about arguments. I think overall, this is one of those movies that is very sad. As we pontificated clearly earlier
in the show, rough.
And we will continue to do it. It is a rough movie to get through. It is a good movie. I'm not going to lie to you. It's a movie that I would watch again in like 17,000 years. But
I'm good for like a once a year.
Yeah.
I can't do much more than that. I guess I have seen it once a year, because it's been four times. I'll tell you this.
If the movie came, like if I had cable TV or TV or something,
it came on, you'd watch it.
Yeah, I'd watch it. Just because it's kind of, and I do like the beginning of the movie. The first half of the movie is really good.
The music alone is great.
The whole tour and everything is really good. And it's just interesting to watch the dynamic, but God, man, it's such tough. But it is one of those movies, like as a couple, I think every couple should sit down and watch this movie and try to dig through the things that they're digging through, just like we did, and overanalyze it. Like really psychoanalyze this movie to the point where you're like, what is really going on here?
Well, I mean,
is it this or is it something like more, is it something deeper than what we're seeing? And I think that might, like this movie would be a perfect example of, like, again, what we did, but then look at your own life and go deeper. Because I think so many people are surface level with each other, even in long-term relationships, marriages, people really keep things on the surface. They never go beyond that because, well, one, they don't really take the effort. But two, they don't really like put thought into it. It's just like, oh, she's mad. So what?
Yeah, I was just thinking that as you're saying that. Like, are the little arguments that you have all the time really about the little arguments that you're having? Or is it something deeper that's in there? And then those things come out, or parts of those things come out as you get fueled up, or as, you know.
I think surface level, I think people who look at the surface level of their relationship tend to react to those things in a moment, but never let it sit and think about what's going on. I think that's where you go, to go beyond the surface. It's like when you, when you're mad, I don't go, oh, she's mad. What did I do? And I start thinking of all the things I do. It's like, she's mad or something's upset. What's wrong with her? So let me just sit and watch. Let me take this a little bit deeper than what I'm thinking maybe on the surface. You know, it, you know, it's like, oh, it must be school or it must be this. You know, it's like, you know, you got to go beyond that. Like, what is, why are you upset? Okay, I'm upset because of this. Well, that shouldn't make you upset. So why are you upset at that? Like, you, you kind of get deeper than what's right there on the surface. And then you might find out something like we said, he might have been upset, you know, where he's like, oh, you're ugly. He didn't see her as ugly because we already know that he thought she was beautiful.
Her. Yeah.
But it was something else that changed the look. Like, I think for me, watching him interact with her was never about the surface. It was always about what was inside her, deep inside of her, how she presented herself.
I totally agree with you. And I missed that, that the first time I watched it.
And that was the beauty that he saw in her, whether he thought she was attracted on the outside or not. It, you know,
yeah, he was attracted to who she was.
Right. So therefore, there was
it all made her beautiful.
Deeper level of attraction. And I think that's where a lot of people mess up, is that we're so surface, we're so facade-ish, that we get lost in the lusty chemical section of our brain instead of going deeper into the relationship, into the person, where we can't see what root causes are happening. Instead, we just focus on all the symptoms. And, you know, what is our root cause of love? You know, what is it that really makes us love this person? But most people tend to focus on, well, they're nice and, oh, they're pretty, so I'm going to fall in love with them because they do these things. But what is inside that person at their core that gives you the root cause of your love instead of just symptoms of your love?
Well, it's funny that you said this, because I instantly thought of the conversation she had after Jack had passed, and his brother and her are sitting in the hallway. And he said that about the music being 12 notes on repeat. Yeah. And that what he loved the most about her was that what she saw in those 12 notes.
Yeah.
So it was proof right there.
Yeah.
That he was attracted to her, found her pretty physically.
Mm-hmm.
But it was her mind and how she saw and wrote music that was it for him.
Yeah.
That did it for him. And so when they had that conversation when she was in the bathtub, that's why he calls her ugly. It's the part of that she's not using her gift that she has for music to show the world what she has to say and what she can do with it.
Yep. I agree.
It's so interesting. I'm like so glad we did this, because honestly, I could probably watch the movie a lot easier now in the future. Yeah. But these are all points that were missed on me.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't focus on this the half dozen times I watched it before, three other times, I guess.
So yeah. Well, I mean, it's different to take.
It was more on the surface level of everything, but now that we've talked about it and talked through it, he really fucking loved her. He really, really did.
Yeah, and I think people overlooked it.
I think she did too.
I think people overlooked that relationship because of the alcohol and the touring and stardom, and they don't see the depth of what was really going on there. So yeah, so that's our take on the movie A Star Is Born. Again, a really terribly sad movie that does not have a fucking happy ending. In no way, shape, or form, this movie is really hard to get through without shedding a couple tears. Even if you're a dude, and can get through this, if you're anybody and get through this movie without shedding a tear.
God, you're a cold-hearted ass.
I will first say, you have a black heart, soulless person.
If you can do it, I don't know how you couldn't. What'd you say was this is, there's Old Yeller and then there's this one. Is that yeah. what you said yesterday?
Like, there's like movies that I can, like, well, I say Old Yeller because everybody gets old bent Yeller on Yeller. Something else. I don't get bent on Old Yeller.
What was the other one? Eight something.
Eight say? Below, the eight dog below. Movie. Yeah, the dog. Where movie. The dogs die. I'm not, so I don't cry at those movies, but I know a lot of people do.
Yeah.
So, like, if you got me, it'd been like Black Hawk Down, you know, or Tears yeah, yeah. of the Sun or something like that, like a war movie. Like, I yeah. can't watch it. Like, it breaks no. me into pieces. But. For this right movie, this one gets 10 teardrops right into the bucket.
yeah, at one point I looked at, well, I wasn't looking at you because I just was like, it was just streaming down my face. But I know you're looking at me. I'm like, I can't look at him right now because if I do, my eyes are going to overflow. It's already rolling out. But if I turn my head.
Yeah, it gets pretty difficult to watch at times.
Yeah, I got the snot rolling after a while.
Yeah.
I couldn't even hold it in. You know, so, and then you get the burning in your throat because you're trying not to cry.
Yeah, I
but then you
know
are crying,
saying.
And then you're like, yep. This is the worst.
So
I had a good pick, huh, babe?
Yeah, great pick. Next
but
week
it
we'll
landed
be,
for good conversation.
Next so. Week we'll be watching, not next week, next week we'll have the show from Civilian, or Civilian. And then we will be watching our last movie, which will be a fan pick. And we have decided, after all the all the input we got
is
from everybody,
the proposal?
We're going to be watching The Proposal with Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds.
Yes.
Mainly because she hasn't seen it. We've yeah. seen pretty much all of them. We try to keep something fresh. Like, this was good for us because I've only seen it once and, you know, it really never played out. And most of the other movies she hasn't seen.
Yeah.
So we're going to watch The Proposal. Plus, we got to keep it light. And that movie's freaking hilarious. It's one of it's. It's not one of my favorite movies, but it has one of my favorite scenes ever.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch it. Yeah. My friend Sarah had suggested it. Yeah. So we
Betty White is my idol.
I mean,
and
how
I
do
love
you
her
not
death,
love Betty White?
But this movie brings it to a whole nother level.
I'm like, excited to watch it.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
That'll be 2 weeks from now.
So take your time. Watch the movie if you haven't. If you have a significant other, spend some time with them. Watch this movie together. Maybe you do your own breakdown of what's happening there. And we will look forward to hearing what you think about it. Give us your comments. Give us your thoughts. Give us your hates. Give us your hate. Give us all your hate.
All of it?
All of it. So you can have nothing but love.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyways.
Silly ass.
But as always, don't forget to check us out on the Instagram. You can check us out there, Rock Hippie Adventures, always Facebook as well. If you do hit us up at Twitter, you might not catch anything back.
We'll just look at it. I don't even know if I look at it.
I don't remember. I need to really go over to Twitter and check it out and see if we're doing anything there.
No, I was posting over there, and then I got lazy.
But, yeah, so we're on Twitter, too. If you hit us up at Twitter and I go over and find something and it's meaningful, I will post back.
All right.
But also check us out at our website, www.rockhippieadventures.com. We will be getting some more videos out. We are definitely looking forward to doing a couple of reaction videos to some things that are freaking hilarious. We want to do some other things. But like I said, I got that Mac Mini M1, man, and we're about to load it the hell up. We appreciate everybody checking it out because we always want to tell you that we want you to live life loud and bold.
And mediocrity is not an option for us, and it should not be for you.
That's right. That's what I'm saying.
Word.
No mediocrity.
None.
No salted eggs.
No salted eggs. No vanilla.
Nope. Get your rocky road.
Silly ass.